hand in hand. As we take off, we got our home flight plan. It's a non-stop flight, but I'm a-loving you. As we take off on the go, we don't need a traffic control. It's a non-stop flight, but I'm a-loving you. As we begin to gain altitude, just like no other love is true, it's a non-stop flight, but I'm a-loving you.
Welcome to There's No Biz Like Showbiz with Randall Rutledge and Mr. Las Vegas, James Turner. How's everybody doing this evening? Randall is in Oklahoma doing a book signing, so he won't be with us this evening. I'll be going solo, and I'll have a couple of guests with me this evening. And we'll be doing a movie news and review with Mr. Mac McCord here, a good friend of mine here in Las Vegas. He is a very infomatic person on the movie business and the movie shows. We'll be talking about that and reviewing a couple of films, as well as the new film that's just come out, The Hangover, and that was filmed here in Las Vegas this past year, and that's coming out Friday. So hopefully we'll be doing that review next week. We'll have Mac back on. But Mac is doing his, I'm sorry, Randall is doing his book signing in Hastings, at Hastings Bookstore in Enid, Oklahoma at 4 p.m. tomorrow. So if you're in Oklahoma and listening to our show this evening, you can catch him over there in his book, There's No Biz Like Showbiz. And he will be signing his book from Movie City to Music City, USA, and his quest and his journey from Hollywood to even Las Vegas here, where we teamed up years ago, became good friends, and it's a very good book. We'll be talking about some of that this evening. But first of all, we'd certainly like to say a blessing for the folks. Just a quick note on the folks on that jetliner that crashed and over the Atlantic over there, with the 228 people. Interesting scenario there, where that plane was probably hit by lightning and broke up in midair and crashed over the water. It's just a shame for that, and we just wish everybody and their families the blessings and comfort that that unfortunately they're going to need for that unfortunate incident. Today we also got news today about David Carradine, who was filming a movie in Bangkok and was found dead, hanging himself, possibly. Investigation still going on, of course, with that, with a curtain rope or some kind of rope in a hotel room there. And we're certainly going to miss David Carradine. What a great star. I know I watched Kung Fu for of course, all of the years that it was on in the 70s. Grew up with David Carradine, wonderful actor. God bless him. We're going to miss him. And we'll just wait and see what the confirmation is on that news. But a tragic loss of David Carradine. So anyway, moving on to the good stuff. Let's see. We have some great information. This week, here in Las Vegas, was at the Bootlegger, which is a bistro here, which is owned by the Lieutenant Governor Lorraine Hunt, and the past Lieutenant Governor. And Monday night was the beginning of a new showcase, a cabaret kind of showcase with Kelly Clinton, who does a few things here. She's a local entertainer here. She's married to Clint Holmes. And they now are doing an event over there on Monday nights. It's a showcase format where the local talent here in town gather together on Monday nights and sing. It's an opportunity for local talent such as myself. I was there. I performed Monday night. And it was very, very fun. Everybody was there. Clint Holmes was there. Susan Anton was there. Many local acts. The Dean Martin. This guy, Drew. He's in the Rat Pack show here at one of the casinos. He was there, looks just like a young Dean Martin. This kid was just unbelievably just a lookalike to Dean Martin, a very young Dean Martin. Sam was very close to him. He was good, but I'll tell you, he sure looks like him. It was a very neat time. I got up and sang. I did James Brown, I Feel Good, and rocked the house with that. I packed there, and actually, a lot of people got some opportunities to be on another gentleman who's here. He has a local radio show here in town, Dennis Bona, who's married to Lorraine Hunt, the ex-lieutenant governor. And it was standing room only. It was just amazing, the talent that was there and the people that were there for opening night. So it'll be interesting. I'll have a weekly review of that because I'll be there every Monday night and share successes and opportunities that can come about just from my own personal experience in the business and my pursuit on the journey for show business. And of course, if you have any questions, you'd like to call in and talk to us about yours or any interest in the business or Las Vegas, you can call in at 888-228-4494 and call in. I'd be happy to talk with you and chat with you on anything you'd like to know about film, television, music, radio, whatever you'd like to know or discuss. We will have some fun talking about whatever you'd want to talk about. So anyway, let's see. A lot of stuff going on. In fact, here in Las Vegas, there's going to be a new studio here that's going to be built. There was a gentleman who created the Oakley sunglasses, and that's Jim Jannon, and the Red Camera. It's a new digital camera that actually they've been using in quite a few series and shows. They just got 80 acres out here in the Southwest Valley, which is something that should have been done a long time ago here in Las Vegas, being the entertainment capital of the world, with a studio, a digital camera manufacturing facility, as well as residences for the stars that come out and shoot in the studio. They'll be using the cameras there and be able to give immediate feedback on the cameras. And that's an exciting thing for Las Vegas because, believe it or not, we do not have a major television studio here to film a local series or a local show, which is something of a dream that I've been working on here to do in the future and is in production right now. But that's exciting news. And so we're looking forward to that here shortly in the next coming year to have that here. And that's going to be exciting. So we'll certainly have news on that. We're all going to have Mac McCord on here shortly. He's going to be joining us with joining me, I should say. We're going to do a movie news and review on a couple of films here that we've both seen. In fact, Mac's got some funny stories on some films that he's seen. He's very knowledgeable on the new films, and I was even watching a film. We were doing a preview show briefing and talking about some stuff. He was even watching one today, and it was really funny. He'll have some funny stories here shortly after our first commercial break. But I'm looking forward to doing that with the show. We're also looking forward to having Mr. Robert Say on. Hopefully he'll be calling in this evening. And we'll be doing an interview with him on his career. He is a songwriter and has performed for many years with many artists from Nashville. And he's a country singer, songwriter, and has originally written a lot of songs and done many, many things over the years in the business. So we're looking forward to talking to him. Hopefully he'll be calling in here shortly. We'll be doing that. If not, we'll have him on next week. But he's scheduled to call in as well. So we're looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we are going to enjoy a beautiful sunset here in Las Vegas. It's just gorgeous out here. And there's so many things going on in the film and television industry, even out here with the new shows that are coming out, and unfortunately some of these ridiculous reality shows that just get a little crazy and silly. But you know, Las Vegas is because that's where I'm at, Mr. Las Vegas is right here, looking at the Orleans and the Palms. There's always a lot of stuff going on here as well. As CineVegas coming up here at the Palms here shortly in the next couple of next week or so, actually, which is a film, independent film festival, and all the stars will be here for that. We'll have a review on that, of course, here in the next few weeks, and there'll be some pretty interesting new independent films that we'll be showing there, so we'll have that as well, and we'll be looking forward to that, and some other projects that are coming up that I'll be sharing with you in the next couple of weeks. And let's see, what else is going on here? We also have the Burlesque Hall of Fame at the Orleans here in Las Vegas. Now, that's an interesting, another interesting and fascinating event that's going on here. It's the celebration in the Hall of Fame of the burlesque strippers that started the industry years and years ago. And they're going to be having events from today till Sunday here at the Orleans, and celebrating the history of the burlesque stripping. It's just amazing, you know, how long and how many years actually this style of entertainment has been going on, and of course has been a mainstay here in Vegas, and certainly part of its culture since the beginning of its creation. But I'll be visiting that. I'll be having a review on that for you. But you can go to theburlesquehall.com and check that out. But it'll be interesting to see all the ladies and all the events in the next few days for that event. It's pretty fascinating that a town like Las Vegas is pretty much the only place you're going to find anything like that. So it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting when you know them and see stuff like that going on. So, anyway, let's see what else is going on here. I have a lot of information to share, with you guys. And if anybody would like to call in again, cause I have the whole hour to do by myself other than having Mac and hopefully Robert call in. Certainly appreciate your call, and you can call in and talk to me about show business or anything you have to share at 888-228-4494. And then we'll have Mac here in just a few minutes. Let's see, what's some interesting information since I've got all this time to myself here. Let's see, how about some interesting things, interesting Las Vegas laws that have been around for many, many years that, you know, you hear that, you know, of course they don't enforce, like, you can't walk an elephant across the street between, 3 and 5 in the afternoon, you know, all these kind of weird, old laws. Here's one. A man is forbidden from buying drinks for more than 3 or 4 people other than himself at any one period during the day. Okay. Let's see here. That's kind of weird. In Clark County now, the largest county in Nevada, an ordinance makes bringing a concealable firearm into the county illegal unless it is registered with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. And in order to register a handgun, however, it must be brought into the police station. Furthermore, you may not register a gun on the weekends, but the police may prosecute you at any time. The police may prosecute you at that time. In Eureka, Nevada, men who have mustaches are forbidden from kissing women. Now, that's going a little too far. In Las Vegas, it's against the law to pawn your dentures. Huh. Yeah, right. And in Las Vegas, you can bid on any team except the University of Nevada at Las Vegas. In Nevada, sex without a condom is considered illegal. Now, isn't that a little far-fetched, okay? Here's another one. In Nevada, until the 1960s, it was illegal to sell liquor at religious camp meetings within a half mile of the state prison, in the state capitol building, or to imbeciles. Okay, a few more here, then we're going to get a commercial break and we'll bring Mac on. Let's see, in the old days in Nevada, a man caught beating his wife was tied to a stake for 8 hours a day with a sign that read, "Wife Beater," fastened to his chest. Okay. It's illegal in Nevada to have a house of ill fame within 400 yards of a church or school. Okay. It is illegal to drive a camel on the highway. Oh, brother. It is illegal in Reno, Nevada, to conceal a spray-painted shopping cart in your basement. I'm telling you, who thinks this stuff up, folks? Got it. And it's still legal to hang someone for shooting your dog on your property. Amazing. And finally, saloon keepers had to post the names of habitual drunkards, if so requested by the local sheriff or members of the imbibers' immediate families. Oh, brother. I'm telling you, just some ridiculous stuff. Okay, I think we have a caller. Is that Mac?
This is Mac. James, how are you?
Hey, Mac, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for calling in on No Biz Like Showbiz. Mac,
there's
if you'll
no
hold on, we are going to go to a commercial break. And then I'll bring you back on, and I'll introduce you, and we'll do some movie news and review. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, let's do the commercial break, and folks, we'll be right back.
As we take off on the go, we don't need a traffic control. It's a nonstop life, but I'm loving you.
Howdy, Randall Rutledge here. Listen to my show, No Biz Like Showbiz, here on www.bbsradio.com, Station 2, every Thursday at 7:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen in and call in. Join me and my co-host, James Turner, if you want to learn the ins and outs of the entertainment industry. I also have a book out entitled From Movie City to Music City, USA. It's also available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and Tower and others. It's available from my website, www.randallrutledge.com. If you're considering pursuing show business, my book will save you years of trial and error, as well as hundreds and thousands of dollars that you don't have to spend. So catch my show, No Biz Like Showbiz, right here on www.bbsradio.com.
Taxi down the runway, hand in hand. As we take off, we got our whole flight plan. It's a nonstop life, but I'm loving you.
All right, folks, welcome back to There's No Biz Like Showbiz. And if you'd like to call in and chat with us, we're getting ready to get with Mac McCore here and do a movie news and review. If you have any input or have any information that you'd like to share and chat with us about any movies, or film that we're talking about, or some other film that you've seen, please feel free to call in and join us at 888-228-4494. Okay, let's bring Mr. McCord on, Mr. Movie News and Review himself, and let's get this show rolling. Mac, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, James. Listen, I'd like to say this before I get started here. I'd like to offer my condolences to David Carradine that passed away today.
Yes, I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. It is a shame, isn't it, Mac? A great man.
It is. And
I hope it's not the case that he hung himself, or I hope he got tangled up somewhere or something else happened. But that's surely a shame. There, that God bless him.
Yes, sure is.
loved the Kung Fu series, watched it for years.
Well, his father
great
was great,
icon.
Too.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, his father was great, too.
Yeah, Jack Carradine was a great actor, too. He was fantastic. So God bless him and the best to his family. And I just take the best of him, and it'll just make us better actors and show people. What do you say?
Yeah, yes. You know, I also like to say, I don't know if you ever heard this, the story of the guy that walks out of a movie. He walks out of the theater and walks about a block away and runs into an old friend of his. And this old friend, they get into conversation or what have you, and his old friend says, have you seen any good movies lately? He said, no. So it's kind of like me, myself, you know. I've seen a lot of movies, but I haven't seen any good ones.
Well, you were telling me a story, and we thank you, Mac, for being with us on the show. You were telling me a story earlier about, before we get to some real film reviews here, about a story that you were watching, we were talking about, which we'll do that, The Day the Earth Stood Still with Keanu Reeves. Now, that movie was a little controversial because a lot of people didn't like it because it kind of took away from the original format of the original film and spun away from that a little bit. I liked it. I didn't think it was too far off and too far-fetched. But you watched the movie, and you said that you weren't quite fond of it. And tell me, what was your experience with that?
Well, with that, I think my problem was that I tried to compare it to the 1952 original movie, which starred Patricia Neal and the great Michael Rennie. And the theme basically was the same. But the storyline itself was just a tad different. Now, in the new one, which came out December, Keanu Reeves, it had a very good, strong beginning, but then it kind of lost something towards the middle of the movie. It started to branch out to different things. So that was my disappointment, as opposed to 1952 with all the UFO sightings and the saucer-type sightings. Instead, what do we see? We see a spear as opposed to a flying saucer. So that was a little disappointment. But I don't know, with the computer enhancement, the special effects now are really great. But I still have to lean towards the 1952 movie, the original.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, when you saw the film and you were kind of disappointed you were leaving, and what did you say to the usher on the way out?
Well, this is a kind of. I was only joking. This is a true story. I was walking out of the theater, Cineplex there, and went up to the ticket taker. Said to him, I said, "Hey, listen, can I get my money back?" I said, "That movie really sucked." Guy says, "Of course not. You sit through the whole movie, now you want your money back?" I said, "Well, can I at least get a bag of popcorn?" He says, "Get out of here."
Oh, I thought that was funny. So, anyway, I thought The Earth Stood Still, I thought it was pretty good. It certainly was a little different, of course, than the original, but I thought the storyline was good, and I thought the main premise of the moral of the story was very good, because it is very true, I think personally, and in a lot of people's lives, and in the world as we know it, that of course pushing the envelope to the limit in that sense, before you get pushed to make the change that what did the if you remember the scene where they're at that scientist's home and he tells Keanu, because Keanu is basically going to he's pretty much a messenger or a tool within the movie of they're pretty much going to wipe out the world, not because they want to take it over and not because they want to feed off of humans or do anything like that, but it was because man was destroying the world, and the only way to save the world, to be part of any use to any other life, including to man himself, was that he had shared with Keanu, was that, upon the precipice of the brink, that man and people can and do change. And I thought that was the miracle that they were looking for, and which he found, because he needed to bring that feeling back to the sphere. Correct?
Yeah, well, the theme was the same. The theme was the same, and it was an alien coming to the planet Earth and stopping us from destroying it. Now, in the original, Michael Rennie had actually, in this movie, the alien, had threatened the Earth if we didn't change our ways. He was going to reduce it to a cinder. But now, as opposed to the new one, now this is where the story changes. I mean, as far as the two movies are concerned, the alien is moving all the wildlife off the planet, as opposed to the other. So the theme basically is the same. It's to keep us or stop us from destroying ourselves.
Right. Well, we could certainly use that right now, couldn't we?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. I'm telling you. But, well, you know,
go ahead.
But, yeah, I'd like to say one thing, you know, on movies. And my problem is with the Academy of Arts and Sciences, the Oscars itself. If you can remember back, George C. Scott refused an Oscar. Marlon Brando refused an Oscar, and they deserved it. But if you look over the history of the Oscars, it's like they're giving out the Oscars after it's too late. It's not for their best performances. Take Al Pacino, for instance. Al Pacino finally got an Oscar after a long, long time in movies for Scent of a Woman. But
right.
That wasn't his best performance. His best performance was Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon, Godfather 1, 2, 3. Take your pick.
Right.
Also, well, just for a moment, just think about it. Take Denzel Washington, excellent actor.
Mm-hmm.
He got the Oscar for Training Day when his best that wasn't his best performance. His best performance was Malcolm X and Hurricane. Jack Clance, same kind of story. He got a supporting Oscar for City Slickers when he should have got it years earlier for either Shane or Sign of the Pagan. John Wayne, 1969. You can't tell me that John Wayne beat out John Voight, Dustin Hoffman for Midnight Cowboy for Best Actor. That was not John Wayne's best performance. His best performance, 1949, Red River.
Right. Excellent film. And so here we go with examples of, and your point being, and I'll let you say your point, and then I'll make mine. Your point with all of that is what?
My point is, it's like, this, of course, this is just my opinion. Seemingly, the best actors and actresses are overlooked until it's like towards the end of their career, and it seems like they're going to say, well, we better give them an Oscar here, you know, before it's too late, or they retire. The point I'm trying to make is they don't seem to give the Oscar out to the right people. Maybe that's just me. That's my opinion.
Right. Well, and I think that happens now. My point is, and I certainly can agree with you on certainly the years that they actually deserve it for something that they've done miraculously on their best performances, and then they get something the next year. But it's the politics, of course, and it's the favoritism that happens, as within any field, especially show business, that happens all the time. Including, who was it that just got, For an example, you know, Chris Angel just got his wax figure over at the Madame Tussauds wax museum over there at the Venetian. Now, Chris Angel is certainly not an icon in Las Vegas. He certainly is not a legend. He certainly hasn't been here and performed here for 20-plus years. But here he is with a show less than a year that truly is not that popular. And I've seen the show, so I'm not, certainly not talking, out of the side of my face. And the rumors were true, which what I heard about his show and all that. But, you know, he's not a showman. His show, he was a lot of tricks. It was more Cirque du Soleil than anything. And the rabbit theme, of course, that, that he has throughout the show. You know, his ratings on the show and his reviews on his show have not been all, in fact, they've even been talking to where somebody else is going to, now take over the show, in some way, facet, or form. That's about all the information that's been given so far. But there again, you know, here Chris Angel has gotten a wax figure at the Man in 2000 and, you know, and for what? He hasn't even been here. You know, a year with his show, and it's not even all that fantastic. You know, so it's interesting how this stuff happens, and I agree with you on that. But you were telling me today, just quickly, you were even watching a new movie this past year, My Bloody Valentine in 3D. And you were watching that, and tell me what you said today. Because that was funny about My Bloody Valentine in 3D.
Well, you know what? I like to watch those movies because they've got so many one-liners in there, man, and they're actually funny. I mean, as a kid, I probably would have been frightened at that for these movies, but as an adult, I watch these things. I tell you, I watched this because it was in 3D. I haven't seen 3D in years. I think the last 3D that I saw, believe it or not, was The House of Wax with Vincent Price. But I watched this movie today, and with these glasses, these 3D glasses, I tell you, it's like looking out through infrared or something there. I mean, a blurry picture and what have you. Anyway, there was a pickaxe thrown that was pretty realistic. Matter of fact, I hit the carpet and ducked as it went by me.
Yeah, you told me that the guy threw the axe out of the TV and it flew right by your head.
Yeah, right by my head.
But you weren't happy with that film.
No, well, you know what? I would make a very, very, I don't know. If I was to critique the majority of the movies, I would probably thumb down a bunch of them.
Right.
I think you remember what was it, at the movies, Gene Siskel, which died a few years back, and Roger Ebert, you remember those?
Uh-huh.
And I used to base the movies on what they said, thumbs up, thumbs down. And I'd go and take in some of those thumb-down movies, and I thought they were pretty good. Not great, but I thought they were pretty good.
Right.
But you know what, I tell you, if you have to get out there and look for yourself. You know, you can listen to the critics all day long. This movie's not good. You know, don't waste your time seeing it. Go see it for yourself. If you dislike the movie, leave in the middle of the movie, request your money back, and a bag of popcorn.
Right. You know, I agree. That's another thing, even touching on the that side of the movie business with films. Is the critic, because I certainly know that. I think that a lot of people out there, and of course, if anybody out there would like to join us in our movie news and review, you can call in at 888-228-4494 and join me and Mac. Mac being the movie news guy, and join us in our reviews on the films we're talking about, or any other films that you'd like to talk about. We are right here waiting for you, and you can join our conversation at any time. But anyway, yeah, you know, that happens all the time. And, you know, it's just funny about a lot of these films, how, you know, the critics will make their comments and make the reviews and nitpick this and that. And it's just so offline in one way or the other that, that when you go see it yourself, you're just like, I just don't see that. This was a good film, or actually was absolutely horrible. But it's actually been nice. And I don't know about you, and you've seen a lot of movies lately, and more than I have, that actually probably this last year, there's probably been more good films than there have been in the recent years, as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
Well, yeah, let's take, for instance, getting back to the critics again, just not really getting off the point here, but Siskel and Ebert did a thumbs down on The Cocoon. I don't know if you saw that or not, directed by Ron Howard. And he said it was a disaster.
Which
movie? The Academy Awards came out, Cocoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was an excellent movie. I mean, it was like looking at The Late Show, because you had all these actors from the 40s and 50s, you know, playing senior citizens, which they were, you know. I thought it was an excellent movie. Now, I think this is the second movie that Ron Howard directed after Splash.
Uh-huh.
This movie was it was nominated for 3 Oscars, and it got all 3.
Right.
But what I'd like to do... What I'd like to do in a situation like that, I'd like to, of course, Gene Siskel has passed away, but I'd like to interview these critics myself and say, well, how do you explain this?
Right.
You advise the public not to see this movie? This movie is a dog, you know, yet it won 3 Oscars.
Exactly. You wonder, that's a perfect example of how these guys come to that that conclusion, because that was a great film, you know, was a great film. And again, on the critics issue, that, you know, it's just amazing how these guys, you know, see these films and see them that way, and then you really go see it and experience it, and, you know, really that was a good movie. Yeah, you know, so it's just amazing how it comes about. Now, you saw a couple of recent films recently. What were they?
Well, I saw Taken with Ian Neeson, and it was, well, semi-action movie. And it was okay. It started out pretty good, then it started to lose its flavor, if you want to say, as it goes on. But I think the best movie I've seen so far, and this was thumbs down by the critics as well, was Knowing with Nicolas Cage. I don't know if you've seen that.
Right. Uh-huh.
Now, one thing that I really liked about that movie, in the early days of computer enhancement, you know, special effects, I didn't like it at first, because to me it seemed like it was too animated. But... And Knowing, I mean, with the sound, the improvement of the sounds, you know, you got DBS, you have 5.1s. That movie, in my opinion, told a story, and it was excellent. Where we came from, what are the possibilities that we came from outer space? And this was an excellent movie. I don't know, have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen that one yet. That's on my list.
Okay, out of 4 stars, I'd have to give it a 3.
Mm. Okay, and it lacking what, to minus the 2?
Well, in the movie itself, I mean, the dialogue was good, with the exception that I saw a one-liner. Unfortunately, when I see a movie, I see it like I'm a director. You know, I wish I could have been a director. But anyway, there was a scene where the plane crashes, commercial airliner, and this guy crawls out of the plane. He's on fire, head to toe. And he's running to, he's engulfed in flames. He runs past Nicolas Cage, and Nicolas Cage says, "Hey, wait a minute." I mean, here's a guy that's on fire head to toe, like he's going to stop for a moment and say, well, what do you need? Now, you know, unfortunately, I noticed things like that. Now, that was corny as hell.
Interesting. Well, I'll have to look for that when I watch the movie.
Yeah, well, you know, well, the storyline on this was that we're being watched from outer space. We're just like in a test tube. And,
right.
And we're going to be taking away your media. Yeah, well, it's all theories. I mean, we have a lot of theories. But I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining. In my opinion, a movie's got to be entertaining, first of all. It's got to have a story, and it's got to have a plot. You definitely got to have a plot. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you walk out of a movie, and it's either you didn't watch it or you were distracted by something. When you walk out of a movie and you didn't understand and you're scratching your head, then it wasn't very good.
Right. Yeah, how was Nicolas Cage's acting in that film?
Good. Yeah, I like Nicolas Cage. He's an excellent actor.
Yeah, he's a wonderful actor. Well, we're going to take another commercial break. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, that's Francis Ford Coppola's nephew.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that was probably how he got his start. But he's a very good actor.
Yeah, he's a wonderful actor. We're going to take another commercial break, folks, and we'll be right back with Mr. McCord in our movie news and review. And we hope you'll call in at 888-228-4494 and join us on our movie news and review. We'll be right back.
Howdy, Randall Rutledge here. Listen to my show, No Biz Like Showbiz, here on www.bbsradio.com, Station 2, every Thursday at 7:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen in and call in. Join me and my co-host, James Turner, if you want to learn the ins and outs of the entertainment industry. I also have a book out entitled From Movie City to Music City, USA. It's also available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and Tower and others. It's available from my website, www.randallrutledge.com. If you're considering pursuing show business, my book will save you years of trial and error, as well as hundreds and thousands of dollars that you don't have to spend. So catch my show, No Biz Like Showbiz, right here on www.bbsradio.com.
Catching down the runway, hand in hand, as we take off, we got our whole flight plan. It's a non-stop flight, but I'm loving you.
All right, welcome back to There's No Biz Like Showbiz. Oh, he's not up. Oh, he's still doing it. Oh, okay, that's what it is. Okay, welcome back to No Biz Like Showbiz, folks. I'm on the line with Mr. McCord, and we're doing our movie news and review and talking about the recent films that came out. And we've been discussing, we talked about The Day the Earth Stood Still. Mac just watched My Bloody Valentine. And we talked about Knowing with Nicolas Cage. Max review on that. Now, I just watched The Yes Man with Jim Carrey. And that was a good movie. Of course, the story is that you didn't see it, Mac, did you?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen that one yet. Okay. So it's very funny because Jim has pretty much gone through his life, I guess, saying no to too many things in his life, and his life is taking some interesting turns, and he ends up running into this guy who who takes him to this seminar. It was, what was the name of the seminar? It was the Yes, Saying Yes seminar with this guy. And he talks him into saying yes to things in his life and gaining opportunities by saying yes to Jim takes it as saying yes to everything. So it was really quite funny. Jim was very good in it, and he kind of goes through this whole time in his life now where he's saying yes to a lot of opportunities in his life and runs into a girl and finds a girlfriend and this and that, but he finds out that saying yes, long story short, that saying yes to everything, he ends up getting into trouble by saying yes to things that he really doesn't want to. In fact, what he is a loan, a bank loan officer in a bank, and he starts saying yes to all these different loans. And he's trying to make it up in the company and get a promotion. And his boss, who's kind of an off kind of guy, he's kind of a weirdo, goofy kind of guy. And anyway, he starts saying yes to all of these micro loans. He just starts saying yes to all these loans, $250, $500, you know. Guy wants to buy a motorcycle. Somebody needs $250 to do this or whatever. Well, come to find out that one thing in his life that he started saying yes to, the higher-ups took a notice to that because he approved more loans than anybody in that 30 days. I mean, like, what was it? I think it was like 300 and some loans when the average is like 30 or 50 loans. And expecting him and his boss going in, when they call him into the office, and the big boss, starts talking to him about all these loans that he's approved and the figures of him approving 300 and something loans in a month, these micro loans, being that he approved pretty much anybody that even wanted a couple hundred dollars, and they were absolutely excited about it. And glad he did it, and he ended up getting a promotion and going over his boss and getting the promotion, and his boss ended up getting axed out of that. And then it comes about that by saying yes to so many things, he finds himself just involved in so many things because he said yes, some good, but yet some bad, and he gets so confused and so messed up, he ends up hiding in the guy's car who gave this seminar, this head guru guy. And he gets in his car when he's leaving a hotel, and he pops up all of a sudden, and the guy gets into a wreck, and they both end up in the hospital. And so his friends come and visit him in the hospital, and he's just so distraught over this whole thing and this YES program and the whole thing. And the guru guy is next to him, and he comes out, and his friends say, well, the whole thing doesn't mean you have to say yes to everything. You don't have to say yes to things you don't want to do. And the guy pops out and says, they were telling him it was a scam, and the guy says, it's a scam. He goes, you don't have to say yes to everything. It's just a big ruse. So the whole story was very, very funny, and certainly a life lesson that you certainly don't have to say yes to everything. But it was a good movie, and Jim was good in that, as he usually was, or usually is, I should say, and most everything he does. So that was very cool. But you haven't seen that one.
Well, no, but the one thing about Jim Carrey, James, is he's such a great comedian. And he's done stand-up for years. But when he tries to do dramatic roles, let's say, for instance, like 23 or The Majestic, I don't know if you saw those.
Yeah.
it kind of loses something when he's doing dramatic roles. It's like you want to laugh because you know he's going to do something funny, but he doesn't.
Right. I mean, he does.
You know, it's kind of like.
He does a few funny things in the movie, and he's good. I mean, he can be a good dramatic. Now, his best film was Liar Liar. It was a semi-serious role, but it was absolutely perfect for him. I think it was his best film, other than Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Those were his two best films, I think. Ace Ventura 2, was okay. Me, Myself, and Irene was absolutely a fiasco and absolutely horrible and disgusting and distasteful as far as I'm concerned. But 23 was, that was a good movie. I think he did great in that role. He did a little bit of comedy, but a film like Liar Liar, and Yes Man, he certainly got to be somewhat comedic in that. And I think he likes mixing more drama and having the balance to balance out the comedy. I think as he gets older, I think he enjoys being a little bit more serious in mixing his comedy with some serious dramatic parts. I see as he's getting older, but it was good, and you know, I agree. I mean, that's his. You know, as I was saying with Liar Liar, it was just absolutely hilarious. You know, and it was a semi-serious role, but it just fit him perfectly with that film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All righty then. That was Ace Ventura, statement from his
right.
Name, but
exactly.
He got a lot of help from the Wayans brothers from In Living Color. I don't know if you remember that from the early 1900s.
Right.
Early 1900s. Where's my brain at? Early 90s. Back in the early 90s. In Living Color, was it Jennifer Lopez got a star? No, Rosie Perez got a star along with Jim Carrey. A bunch of actors got their start in Living Color, which is really, I hated to see that go off the air. No.
Right, right.
And it's kind of,
one
of your actors.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of your actors, a lot of them gotten their start at on Saturday Night Live.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Saturday Night Live and Living Color.
Yeah, that's been a doorway for actors. Eddie Murphy got started on that. Now, there's another person. Eddie Murphy, in his films, when he tries the dramatic roles, he's stereotyping the comedian roles. You know, you want to laugh. It's difficult to
right.
get into his dramatic roles.
Right. Yeah, and he's got a new film coming out that we'll be previewing here in the next couple of weeks, and I'm sure you'll end up seeing it. Now, there was another film that you saw recently. You were telling me, what was the other film that you saw other than Knowing?
Let's see. There's been so many. I put an X on the ones that I didn't like.
Uh-huh.
The X means I didn't like it. And I tell you, if it was a good movie, I would have remembered it. If it's a bad movie, I've forgotten about it as soon as I walk out of the theater. But other than Knowing...
Right. I can understand that. What other film did you see?
This is under wraps. I don't know.
Go ahead.
This is under wraps right now. I don't know if you've heard about it. I got just a little bit of it about 2 months ago that they're trying to make a remake, or they're going to make a remake of Bonnie and Clyde. And apparently Faye Dunaway doesn't like the person that's going to play Bonnie, which they never disclosed, you know. I wanted to know that myself. I don't know if it's supposed to come out during the summer or during the holidays, Christmas holidays.
Uh-huh.
That one I would love. Yeah, I would love to see that one.
Yeah,
but it's under wraps. They're not talking about it very much. But there's one of the shows that I was watching the other day. They brought it up that Faye Dunaway was very disappointed in the person that was going to play Bonnie.
Interesting. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with that.
We're going to see where that goes
in the next coming weeks here. What was the what was the other film that that I saw for this past week coming up, that just came through? I can't remember right now. I've got it. I'm getting ready to watch, actually, what is it? What Happens in Vegas with Ashton Kutcher and Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yeah, Cameron Diaz, yeah.
Yeah, right. And, other than probably The Oceans, they've really been doing a lot of movie making here in Las Vegas the past 2 years. But in seeing the previews on this, it actually looks really good and funny about the guys coming out for a bachelor party and just having an absolute wild time and going through some antics and waking up the next day and finding out the things they did before.
Yeah. Well, have you got a chance to see Hangover yet?
No. I haven't seen that.
I'm not certain. I think that was released. It's going to be released tomorrow, if I'm correct in saying so.
Right. It's going to be released tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm talking about, is The Hangover.
Okay.
What Happens in Vegas. But The Hangover, yes, that's what I'm talking about. That comes out tomorrow, which is the bachelor party.
This one has a cameo by Mike Tyson.
Right. Who unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, bringing Mike Tyson up, his daughter. Got wrapped up in a cord. At his house, and ended up passing away because she got strangled in one of the cords. It's just amazing how this kind of stuff happens. But certainly, thoughts out to Mike Tyson on that. But yeah, he had. And they said, I just saw a review earlier. They said that he did pretty good in the film. Have you gotten to see the previews on that?
I've seen the previews. I haven't heard any reviews myself. I'll probably have to see it myself and go from there. I really enjoy critiquing movies. If it's a bad movie, in my opinion, I don't have a whole lot to say about it, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, like I said, if I like a movie, I tell you, I want to see it again. When I walk out of that theater, I'm still thinking about it. But when it's a lousy movie, it's I'm looking down at my watch and looking at the time. How much longer before I can get the hell out of here, you know?
Right. And you're asking for a few bags of popcorn on the way out the tour.
By the time I walk out the door, I've forgotten what the movie was about. It was just that boring, you know. And then those are the times that you really wish you had your money back and say, why did I do this? I had a situation. Not too long ago, I saw a movie, and I was at one of the Cineplexes at one of the hotel casinos. And, James, I actually got lost trying to find the exit. Somehow, some way, I ended up in another theater in the same building. Anyway, the movie was already showing. I said, well, since I'm lost, I might as well sit down and see what this is all about. I think it was Scary Movie 2 or Scary Movie 3, one of those. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this, and I say, my God, I'm sure glad I didn't pay for this bum.
And, you know, I hadn't watched, I had never watched those for a long time, and I did end up watching a couple of them, and they were quite funny. And I think they're, I've heard that they're going to make another one. They have another scary movie coming out this year. Sometime, I don't know when, but and Jim Carrey, I think, was in one or two of those, too. Or in one of those, anyway. But I thought those were interesting.
Well, James, let me ask you this. Have you ever went to a Cineplex in a movie and couldn't find the exit and you found yourself in another theater and you sit down and enjoyed it?
You know, it's really funny in closing. I keep bringing that up because, you know, when we were younger, or when I was younger, I remember me and my friends, we used to go and watch a film in one theater, and then we'd go and jump and just walk into another theater and watch another film. We would walk into the other theaters and watch the other movies back in those days. So I can't say I've mistakenly done that, but I have purposely done that to watch other movies when we were younger.
Well, I'll tell you, I had an usher ask me one. He says, you know what, are you lost? I said, no. He said, the exit is that way. I said, this isn't the exit? So anyway, he corrected me. I really appreciate that.
Well, Mac, you know, it's been so much fun, and it's been a pleasure, and I thank you for being on the show with me and helping me out because you are the movie guy, and I know we kind of are just getting started on this, on even reviewing just a couple of films, and Randall, of course, will be back next week with us, but, you know, we talked about it, and we'd certainly love to have you on every week and maybe get the rhythm going here and do some recent movie reviews on the show with you because I know you, and of course we share our day job together, but having you on and doing some movie reviews because you just keep up on that, and you've got quite a brain on the history, and you've got a great mind on the films and in relation to the actors and the history of other films related to. So we'd like to have you on every week. Would you be interested in joining us with that?
Well, sure, I would. I appreciate you inviting me on the show. Sure.
I mean, I've needed you, and I appreciated you being on with me tonight on sharing pretty much most of the hour with me. You've been a great help, and it's been fun talking about the movie, the movies, and it would be a pleasure. And I figured if I nailed you on the air, then you couldn't say no. But, folks, I think we're getting ready to wrap up our time here, and we hope you've had fun with us and enjoyed our show this evening on There's No Biz Like Showbiz. Randall will be back next week. As I said, he will be in Oklahoma tomorrow on his book signing of Movie City to Music City, USA, in Hastings Bookstore in Enid, Oklahoma tomorrow at 4 p.m. You can catch him there. And we will look forward to talking to you next week, sharing all the insights on film and television, and, of course, our new movie news and review guy, Mr. McCord. And I thank you, Mac, for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much, and we'll talk to you next week. And folks, there's no biz like showbiz, and viva Las Vegas, baby.